Kufezayin Amud Aleph, Vilifroch. Let's see if we can find the place. It's five lines down from the top. Vilifroch Malaklei Akerem Shekein Lohoysa Lehen Shas HaKosher. So if you recall, in this brice of Isi Ben Yehuda, where he derives Isra Achila Basu B'Cholav from Gzeres Shavah to Treifa, and as far as Isra Hanoah is concerned, he has a combination of three different Malamdin. He's got Orla, he's got Chametz B'Pesach, and he's got Kolei Akerem. As far as the derivation from Orla is concerned, so it's not a valid Kal V'Chomer because Orla has a Chumrah which doesn't have its parallel in Basu B'Cholav, is that Orla is Ein Lo Shas HaKosher. So from the minute that the fruits grow on the tree, or the grains from the ground, it's Orla. It's awesome. Basu B'Cholav has Heter when you put the two together before you cook them, milk and meat. And therefore, we could not derive Basu B'Cholav, Isra Hanoah, Basu B'Cholav from Orla. We introduce Chametz, because Chametz has a Shas HaKosher, but yet we reject Chametz because it's an Isra Karis. Then we go on to Kolei Akerem, which is an Isra Lav. And the premise is that we can learn from Kolei Akerem to Basu B'Cholav that is Isra Hanoah. And the rules of the game are the following, that once we add the third Malamed, then we cannot reject that Limud, that Yalfusa, based on what's called the Pircha Koldehu, meaning to say that it's Gidulei Karka, because Gidulei Karka is not a Gorim, it's not a logical reason for the Chumrah of the Iser Hanoah. But if we would have had only two Malamdim and we were deriving Basu B'Cholav from just Chametz and Orla, in that case a Pircha Koldehu would undermine the Alfusa, would neutralize it. The strange thing is, and I noticed here that this is the question of the Rosh Yosef, the Prima Gadim, is that the Gemara establishes that if you only had one limud, that's called Chada Michada on the top of the Amud, then once again a Pircha Kolda would not be accepted. So it seems that the Ribui of Malamdim, meaning if you go up from one to two, so you go from Orla to Orla plus Chametz, then it becomes more vulnerable to a Pircha, and even a Pircha Koldehu would undermine the Alfusa. And then the paradox is that the opposite, when you get to three Malamdim, then a Pircha Koldehu could not undermine the Limud. So it seems like Ribui Malamdim is a logical reason to make the Yalfusa more vulnerable. In the case of two Malamdim, therefore Pircha Koldehu would undermine the Limud, but yet when we get to, but yet in the case of Chada, it would seem that we're going down, right? We went down from two down to one, and yet all of a sudden you're protected from a Pircha Koldehu. So which way are you going? Are you going towards Ribui Malamdim, and that's the reason why there's no Pircha Koldehu? Well, then when you go from one to two, there should be no Pircha Koldehu. If you, on the other hand, if you want Miut Malamdim, and that's why one Malamid is enough to protect itself, it's impervious to a Pircha Koldehu, so why is it that when you get to three Malamdim, it should be a Kolshke, that if two Malamdim is already messed up, it's already vulnerable, then certainly three Malamdim. So there's a paradox here in this whole structure of how and when a Pircha Koldehu will undermine the Malamed. And in order to explain this, he quotes the Ran, and he says the following, that if it's a limud from one source, then that source is a kal v'chomer, and if the kal v'chomer is active or is valid, then there's no pircha unless you have a pircha of a kal v'chomer, meaning of a chumra or a kula. But you don't bring a rational pircha. But once you have more makoros, then what you indicate is one of two things. Either you need to strengthen the kal v'chomer with the tzara shoveh, and once you need to add the tzara shoveh, so then each one of the malamdim depends upon the other malamid. And if we could find some sort of commonality between those two malamdim that doesn't exist in the lamed, that's called the pircha koldu, and that's sufficient. However, once we get to a third limud, then what we're doing is we're dropping the tzad hashavah. But what we're saying is that each one of the malamdim sort of operates independent of the other malamdim. And in the case of three malamdim, we have a stronger proof, and therefore we're not impressed by pircha koldu, like for example, malakulam shem gidulei karka. And he says that there, if you have three malamdim, there are two hochachos. There are two proofs. Now let's see if I can find that. Just one second. Oh, what are the two proofs? He says the following. Once you have three malamdim without a chozer adin, meaning without a tzad shoveh, then you have two hochachos that this chumra does not depend upon the pircha. Why? First, you have a chumra that you have two malamdim beyond the kal v'chomer, and even though those two malamdim don't have the same chumra, yet they're still osur b'hanor in our case. And secondly, not only is it that you have two malamdim which don't share that chumra, whether that chumra is Ein Lo Shasa Kosher or Chiyuv Kares, but moreover, you have a malamid shlishi, and that doesn't have any chumra over and above the Dovra Nilmad, meaning it's equivalent in this case to Basa B'cholov in two ways. Number one, because it is a Hoysa Lo Shasa Kosher, like Basa B'cholov, which our Gemara is about to question that premise, but if we assume it's Hoysel or Shasa Kosher, that makes it similar to Basu B'chol, and at the same time, it's not an Isakaris like Chomets, so it has that advantage. So once again, if we had two Malamdim, then the proof here is in the fact that you cannot reject two malamdim based on a chumra, because each one has a different chumra and it's lacking the other chumra. So you can't tell me that the chumra is goreh the din of Iser Hanah. If you add a third malamid into the equation, you have another proof. And the reason for that is because you now have three malamdim, none of which have the chumra above and beyond. I'm sorry. The third malamid, that's what I wanted to emphasize. The third malamid does not have the chumra above and beyond the nilmad. Right? There's no chumra in Klai Kerem in its comparison to Basa B'cholov. So that's a second ochacha that Basa B'cholov should be also manna. And again, that's all based on the premise that Klai HaKerem, like Basa B'cholov, is Yesh Lo Shasa Kosher. Is Yesh Lo Shasa Kosher.
Let's just go in here and close this.
Okay, just see if that would, maybe that would help. Although I think the noise is coming from here.
From there, so that's why I figured we're going here.
Oh, if we go into there. Oh, I didn't follow. Again, after all is said and done, we still have the question why we couldn't derive Basa B'cholov directly from Klai HaKerem. That question remains outstanding.
Ihodadina Yosman Mas Tzad Pochin and Kaldo. What does that mean?
Oh, you talk about Chanami Klas. Oh, here's what the Gemara is pointing out, that in the case of Chanami Klas, you have two options. You can either use the approach which is called Tzarashova,
yeah,
and then you basically back to Tarte, and you have no advantage over Tarte, or you can accept the Malamed Ashlishi as a separate entity without joining forces with the other Malamdin. So the Malamed Ashlishi stands on its own.
And therefore, Pachin and Kaldo.
Well, it depends. Again, if we go with the first approach, that the third Malamed is not independent, but rather just sets up a Bameh Atzad.
Yeah.
So then, a Bameh Atzad by definition is vulnerable, is subject to a Pircha Koldu. But the Elo, meaning if we don't have to institute and apply a Tzad HaShavah, but rather the Malamed Shlishi stands independent. And the reason why it stands independent is, again, as we said before, because it doesn't have any single chumrah above and beyond the Nilmah, as opposed to the first two. So when you have the first two, each one, Arla has a chumrah that doesn't exist in Basra Chalav, Chametz has a chumrah that doesn't exist in Basra Chalav. So the only way you could approach it would be with a Tzad HaShavah. And, you know, a Tzad HaShavah Shabhan, that both of them are Asr Ba'anah, but then both have a Tzad HaChumrah, and it's a weak limud in the case of Tzad HaShavah. And the Pircha Koldu, that the Geduli Karka, is going to undermine that the Alfusa. But if you introduce a third Malamed, in this case Klai HaKerem, if you don't have to come on to Tzad HaShavah, but rather Klai HaKerem could operate on its own as a separate Malamed, because it's absolutely similar to Bas B'Cholav, then there's no such thing as a Pircha Koldu, because again, now we have an extra Hochacha. In other words, not only do we have the Hochacha from the first two Malamdin, that you won't find a common Chumrah in both Malamdin that does not exist in the Nilmad in Bas B'Cholav, but in addition to that, you have another proof from Klai HaKerem in this case, which is a Malamed Ashlishi that's operating independent of the first two Malamdim. It's not linked up with the Tzad HaShavah. And the fact that the Malamed Ashlishi does not have any Chumra at all above the Nilmad, and yet you have the Isra HaNoah, that's enough to add another Hokacha here that we can derive the Isra HaNoah. So we have the two Hokachas. Number one, for the fact that the two Malamdim don't share one particular chumrah that doesn't exist in the Nilmad. And number two, that the third Malamed has absolutely zero element of chumrah above and beyond the Nilmad. So when we add the two Ochachas, Rosh Yosef says, then we don't open, we're not vulnerable to a Pircha Koldu. Okay, so, but all this is based on one premise, and that is that Klai HaKerem is low high salo shasa kosher. So the Gemara asks, just one second. I'm sorry. Let me go back again. I was reading the Gemara in the Kasha, and I was giving the ten. All this is premised on the assumption that Klai HaKerem high salo shasa kosher, and the mirror image to Bas B'Chol. So you put the meat and the milk together, everything's mutter. You put the two zeraim together, or the zera near the kerem, and everything is still mutter. It hasn't grown yet. And before you have gidul, then it's mutter. So that's called haisalo shasa kosher. The Gemara says, no. Lifrach, we should say, malik klei kerem shekein lo haisalo shasa kosher. There was no shasa kosher. Why? Because up until the point that gidul began, until they started growing together, it was not kelayim. There was no moment in time that it was kelayim, but it was mutter. As opposed to basa v'cholov, when you put them together, even before you cook them, it's basa v'cholov. Omer Rav Adbar Rav, Zosomeres Klai HaKerem Ikron Nesar. In other words, from this brisa of Isi ben Yehuda, we're going to have to derive the conclusion that Klai HaKerem is not only osur after it grows, but the zera itself which means we need what's called hashrasha. So let's say the zera together with the kerem now have roots together. Let's say 72 hours, for example, after he puts the zera into the ground, they already have a common root, a shoresh, and that shoresh is also. And that's called ikron. Ikron means the shoresh itself is also. Tosis says it's mashma that even the bark of the vine, you know, the branch, even the branch of the vine is also. So that we don't have to wait until something is produced on the vine as a result of kelayim. That's after growth, but all we need is hashrasha even before gidul. And that's called nimtza hoysolem shasa kosher kodem hashrasha. I mean, it only became also at the point of hashrasha. There was no gidul yet. And hashrasha means it's just two zroim that are combining together, kind of like bishul in the case of basar and cholov. A moment before hashrasha, everything was mutter. And that's considered hoysol hashasa kosher. So in other words, if there's a shame kalayim even on the zera, which means with hashrasha became asur, even though there's no gidul apri, the shrashim themselves are asur, we called it eitzim, then it means that you can have something before gidul, which is still in the state of zera, and yet it's asur with hashrasha. So when you put the two zroim together, even before Ashrasha, and you're in the period of time before Ashrasha, then it's mutter, because the Oser is now going to be Ashrasha, so that heter is Hoysel Oshasa Kosher, which makes Fos Mecholov and Klai Kerem identical, and that allows me to introduce the Melamed Ashlishi. Again, notwithstanding our question, once you have the Melamed Ashlishi, isn't that a Tzad Shoveh? But as Tosa says, in Dibra Masav Lifroch on the bottom of Kuf Tes Vav on the base, we saw this a number of times. Yes. He says, "Ikal Meiluf Amematzinu." Right? Be'afgav to Miklay Kerem Ikal Meiluf Amematziru. So we're not sure exactly why that wouldn't be enough. And if we had a Amematzinu, Lo Parchinu Koldu, but Mikol Makom Ha Hadiyol Ahadiyol Mikabachom Shloshtam Paroch. And Tosa seems to say that there's some advantage. Oh, let's look at Tosa Dimaskal Klai Kerem on the same page, right? Klai Kerem Greida Ami Motzel Meil Pe Mamatzinu El Nichol El Mevad Mitchila Sadin Bekal Machomer. So those are the words in Tosa that we have to understand, and we never came to grips with that. Right. But let's get back for a moment to Klai Kerem Masiv Rav Shmaya Bar Ze'era.
I'm not sure I understood the answer. Is that Klai Kerem Ikron Nesar What does this mean?
Ikaron means that the roots themselves, which haven't yet produced anything, what happens is that it biologically, in terms of the plants, the two zeraim get to the point where they combine.
So that's the point where there is klai
akerem. No, you have to wait a little bit longer until what's called hashrasha.
Hashrasha.
Hashrasha takes, I think, 72 hours. Let's say. Correct. So before Ashrasha, it has a Shasa Kosher again. Before Ashrasha, it's exactly parallel. It mirror images Basar and Chol together without Bishol. So you have both the Basar and Chol, all the elements in the equation are there, but they haven't yet, you know, you don't have that Makav HaPatish, that last agent of Pu'ula that combines them together, that makes them Asur. And the same thing in Zeroyim, you have the Zer and the Kerem, and what you're missing is Ashrasha. But hashrosh is nothing more than more of a, I call it a makav patish, more of an intense state of integrating the two zrayim. So the two zrayim are together, but it's not yet hashrosh. That's called the shasa kosher. Masim from Shmaya Bar Ze'era from a Mishnah in the seventh parak of Kalayim. So we're getting a little bit taste of Kalayim, and we don't want to eat Kalayim, but Hamavir Otzitz Nakuv Bekerem. Right, so you have two types of atzitzim, we'll call it pots, you know, flower pots. You have one that's got holes on the ground, and if when you sort of set it down over the karka, it sucks out the nutrients from the karka, and then you have something like an otzis she'eno nakuv, which is a closed pot. On the bottom, it's closed, and if it's closed on the bottom, it doesn't suck up the nourishment. So he took an otzitz nakuv, and he has various kinds of zeroim, whatever zera he has in the otzitz, and he was mavir it. He passes it over the kerem, and as a result of the fact that the otzitz is nakuv, the otzitz now is yonek. The zeroim in the otzitz are yonek through the avir, through the air from the kerem. So now we have a problem of klaya kerem, because the zroim are now being yonek from the kerem.
Even so the otzis nakuv is in the air. What does that mean?
Well, the otzis nakuv is mavir. The word mavir means he's holding on to it. Now again, exactly how long he's holding it, I don't know. Maybe he puts it down on some sort of shelf, but it's lifted from the kerem. It's not sitting into the kerem. That would be klei kerem mamish.
Right.
But rather, there's airspace between the bottom of the otzis and the kerem itself. Again, you have to know all the dinim, how much airspace there is, and so forth and so on. But we have already a kind of tarovis here, a mixture of klei kerem in the otzis. So how much does the vine at this point in time add to the growth of the zeraim that are in the otzitz? Because if it's a very insignificant ratio, then we can apply the principle of bittel. Now, with regard to klayim, the shear of bittel is echad l'masayim. Okay, so im hosif masayim, which means the following, that the zeraim, when they grow now inside the otzitz, after he passed it over the kerem, then from 200 parts that he has now, one of those 200 parts was gadel bakerem, was the result of the kerem. So he's got 199 against 1. 1 over 200. And in such a case, the tarovus is also the zroim inside the otzitz become also because of klaya kerem, because klaya kerem are only bottle in 1 to 200, and now he has a ratio of 1 to 199. So the Gemara now, meaning Rav Shmaya, is medayik from the Lashon HaMishnah that dafka, when do we say it's also, that's hosif, it adds, again in this case 1 over 200. In, then it became osur. Lo hosif, let's say it was 1 over 200, not 1 over 199, so you have now bittel of 200, is low, it's not osur. But we see very clearly that the otzitz is only osur because there's some sort of a tosefes, not from what happened at the very beginning. We need a certain shear of a tosefes. That shear is going to be 1 to 199. And that contradicts Rav Ada Bar Ava, who says that even the Zerev Kalayim becomes Osir. Amar Abaye, the Gemara answers, Trei Kroi Ksiva, there are two Psukim in the parasha of Kalayim. Ksiv, there's a Pasukim, Kitetz, it says, Pen Tikdash Hamalea. Tikdash means Te Osir, became Osir. Hamalea means only after there was some Tosefes, then it became Osir. But on the other hand, Ksiv has Zera. And that's mashma that even the zer itself is osur. Hakeit said, how do we reconcile these two psukim? Is it the zer itself or only the malaya? Only what was added can generate the isur. So the Gemara answers, how do we reconcile zarua mei kara? If it was a case where you planted a zera of whatever min it is inside the kerem, then the zer itself becomes osur bashrosha. Immediately when it's nishrash bekerem, so you have the zera that takes root together with the kerem, it becomes osur, and that's called malea. But zarua uba, if he has a zera that was nishrash beheter chutz lekerem, that means in the otzitz, it was already Nishrash, the Zerah had already Ashrosha, and then he brings it into the Kerem, then Hosif in Lo, Hosif Lo, then the Zerah becomes Osir only if as a result of the Kerem it has a Tosefes Gidul, you know, there's more growth as a result of the contribution here of the Kerem, which is 1 over 199. So again, the fact that this Mishnah requires a Tosefes, that's only because we're talking about Zorua Uba, which means that the Zera already had Shroshim inside the Otzitz. It's been growing in the Otzitz for who knows how long. But in the case of Malea, which means that he is planting a Zera together with a Kerem, or inside a Kerem, then as soon as it gets to Ashrosha, even though there was no Tosefes Gidul, it's already Osir. And that again would indicate that Kloya Kerem has a Shasa Kosher right before Hashrosha. Hence, we can derive Basa B'chola from Kloya Kerem, and the Hochach that we wanted to bring from Kloya Kerem is absolutely valid, because Haisal Shasa Kosher, and that's because the Zriya itself will generate an Iser once it gets to the stage of Hashrosha. So before the state of Hashrosha is Hoysalahem Shasa Kosher. Now until this point we've been trying to clarify the Mishnah back on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel that Basa B'chol V'Zasa B'Hana, and we're trying to establish what the source is, and we had many different answers to this question. But the premise is, and that's the mission itself, that Basa B'chol V'Zasa B'Hana, however, Masnisin Delo Ki Haitana, the mission is against Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, as we'll see now in the Braisa, denies this very premise that Basa B'chol V'Zasa B'Hana. Tisanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon Basa B'chol V'Zasa B'Achila U'Mutar B'Hana. Basa B'chol is Mutar B'Hana. There's one such shita in Pesachim that Chamesh B'Pesach is Mutar B'Hana. But as far as Basa B'Chalav is concerned, we have the shita from Shimon that the Torah only prohibits Basa B'Chalav in Bishul and Achila, but not in Hana. Shenemar, and this can be derived from a Gzer Shavah to Trefa. It says in the Pasuk, Ki Am Kadosh Ata, that's in the parish of Basa B'Chalav, Minem Elahalon in Trefa. This is back in Parashat Mishpatim, Sefer Shmos says, Anshei Kodesh Tiyudli. And here we have a Gzer Shav of Kadosh and Kodesh, is Malahalon, just like in the case of Basa Trefa, Asa Bachilu Mutbano, because it says in the parashat there, Katla Kelv Tashlichen Oso, Afkan here too, in Basa B'Chalav, Asa Bachilu Umutbano. Which means that Rabbi Shimon rejects Isi ben Yehuda, who, although Isi ben Yehuda also had this equation between Basa B'chol and Trefa, but Isi ben Yehuda was insisted on going beyond Trefa based on the Kal V'chomer from Orla. Now, why is it that Reb Shimon in our Braisa was Mater Hano? Why does he reject the Kal V'chomer from Orla? So if you take a look at Tosus, Divrei HaMaskil Ma,
it's the same Kal V'chomer, right? From
Isa Ben Yehuda. Right, the Isa Ben Yehuda Kal V'chomer established that Basa B'chol is Asa B'Hana. Once we know it's Asa B'Achila from the Gzeres Shavah to Trefa, why is it that, according to Reb Shimon that we're learning now in the Braisa, the ball stops here? We're only going to have the Gzeres Shavah and the equation of Basa B'chol to Trefa, and that generates an Isra on Achila, but we're not going to go one step further and derive now from a Kal V'chomer from Orla that there should be an additional Isra Hana. Why does he reject the Kal V'chomer from Orla? So Tosus explains that according to Reb Shimon, we have a klal called Ein Gzer Shavah Lemechza. When we have a Gzer Shavah, we have to go all the way. It's an absolute equation. You can't just take half of something from this Gzer Shavah. You have to tell the whole. It's the whole truth and nothing but the whole truth. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon derives from Trefa a Heter Hana. It's almost as if the Torah said, Trefa is Asar B'Achila, but it's Mutar B'Hana. And if you're equating Basa B'Chol to Trefa, you also have to add that tag on, and namely that Basa B'Chol is Mutar B'Hana. And that's where Isi ben Yehuda disagrees. He says that, I agree that there's a principle called Ein Gzeres Shavah Lemechza, But since in this case there's a kal v'chomer, therefore it's going to be awesome ba'ana. That doesn't undermine the gzeirah shavah. It's just halacha that if we have a kal v'chomer, then we can derive whatever we have to derive from the kal v'chomer. And the kal v'chomer is going to tell us that that which you derive from treif is only that it's awesome achil. But don't derive a heter hana from the gzeirah shavah, because we have a kal v'chomer. Now Tosis says that based on a sugya on Samaches on with Beis, that there's no contradiction between the kal v'chomer of Isi ben Yehuda from Orla to Bas v'chalav and this gzeir shava between Bas v'chalav and Treifa. And the reason for that is because the Gemara Le'el determines that the parsha of Treifa is dedicated to Kodshim, whereas the kal v'chomer tells us that when we derive from this gzeirah shavah from kodshim, then we should only derive the iser achila, but not the iser hanah. That's the purpose of the kal v'chomer.
And the fact that there are three separate psukim,
three separate malamdim, you mean?
Three separate psukim about the los of los
Ah. Right, so that...
He rejects that, apparently.
That he rejects, and we're going to have to go through all the different possibilities of what we do with each extra pasuk, and why the Torah had to repeat, you know, we said, lavrola, you know, belavim. Now, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva Omer Chayavi Of Einam Min HaTorah, there's no Isur, because right. It says, Al-Savash Al-Gadiva Chalevimo, three times, and we have mi'utim to exclude prat l'chaya, prat li'of, and prat l'meim et me'ah. So the Gemara asks, hani ha, in other words, is this really so, that you can use the extra words of lo savashel gediba chalev imo as a mi'ut to exclude these, meaning chaya v'yof? But Shmuel was the one who adarab derived from these extra gediz a ribui. And what's the ribui? To be marbe what's called shilya, and to be marbe chelev, right? So let's say he cooks chelev with chalav, and you might have applied the principle of ein iser chal al iser, because this concoction was already awesome with Taurus chelev. Kamashmo, no, he also violates basav chalav. And the same ribui I need for the case we have chelev. Oh, and shilya, right? It means you open up the animal and you find the fetus in the uterus of the animal. That fetus, if it's developed to a certain stage, is also considered gedi. So Shmuel is deriving from Gedi that if you eat chelev with chalav, then you violate not only Iser chelev, but also the Iser chalav, a basma chalav, and that if you eat the shlil, which is the uber adimtsim mea behema, and you cook it with milk, you violate the Iser basma chalav. Now, although it's true that Shmuel uses the third Gedi to exclude basma behema tmea, so you cook milk, cow's milk with pig's meat, or the other way around, cow's meat with pig's milk, that you don't violate the Isur Basav Chalav. So in that sense, there's an overlap between Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. But nevertheless, these two ribuyim of Shmuel from the extra gediz would certainly be irreconcilable with Rabbi Akiva's drasha that Gedi comes to exclude Chaya, Gedi comes to exclude Of, where now we're saying, no, I need the Gedi to be Marva Chelev and Avela with Bas V'Cholav, or to be Marva Shilya. So Gemara answers, Kasav Rabbi Akiva, Iser Chalal Iser. Rabbi Akiva agrees with the Maskana of Shmuel that if you cook chelev or nevela with chalav, you violate basav chalav in addition to chelev and nevela. However, for a different reason entirely. Not because of the Pasuk Gedi, but because Rabbi Kiva holds Isach Halal Isach. So therefore, Chalav Umesa, Chalav, excuse me, Umesa means Chalav and Nevela, Lo Tzrichi Kroy. I don't need a Pasuk to be Marbe, the Isach Basmu Chalav in those cases. Mimela, there's an extra Gedi that can be used as a Miu to exclude Chaya. Now you'll ask me, but I still need Shmuel's Ribui for Shalil. And Rabbi Kiva holds that I don't need a ribui for Shalil because Shalil is Gedi Ma'alyahu. It's a full-fledged Gedi. You know, that's the mashmos of the word Gedi. I don't need a ribui to include Shalil. Is therefore Aisaru Lahu Lakula. In other words, you have three times that Gedi is mentioned and I now could set up three mi'utim. And what are these three mi'utim? Prat l'chaya, prat l'yov, prat l'beimetmeya. And that's how the situation lands. Now the Gemara asks the following kasha. It says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Agli Omer, he says that it says in the Pasuk Lo Soklu Kol Nevela, and it says Lo Savashu Gedi B'Chalev Imo, and therefore only that which is also in Nevela is also in Bas B'Chol, but Oaf. And therefore, Oaf, excuse me, which is Asav in Avela, I would assume, therefore, that it's Asav in Basav B'chola, Talmud Lomer B'chalev Imo, Yotza Oaf She'en Lo Chalev Em. So Oaf is excluded, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because it's not Chalev Imo. Logically, I would have included the case of Oaf because it has what's called the Issa Nevela if it dies without Shechita. So Gemara tries to clarify, my Ika Ben Rabbi Yossi the Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva excludes Oaf from the extra word Gedi, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili excludes Oaf from the word Chalev Imo. What, is there any nafkamina between the two? Ika Ben Naya, the difference is going to be Chaya. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Yisavar Chaya de Oraisa. And the reason for that is that Chaya has Chalev Imo. No, I'm sorry. That was a mistake. What I meant to say was the following, that Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in the case of Chaya, is going to say, oh, anything that's included on the Nevela is included in Basa B'chol.
Therefore, Chaya is the rice.
And therefore, Oaf and Chaya are both included. Oaf is going to be excluded on the Chalev Imo, but we don't have an exclusion of Chalev Imo with regard to Chaya, so therefore Chaya is going to be also. So if you cook, let's say, venison, you know, deer milk with milk, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you have violated the Issa D'Oraisa of Bas B'Cholav, because number one, Chaya is included in the Vela, in the Issa Nevela. Number two, Chaya is Yorek mi Chalev Imo. But Rabbi Akiva holds that Chaya is only Derabbanan, and that's derived from an extra miut in the Pasuk Gedi. So one nafgamina between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva is going to be the case of Chaya. It seems that on a Rabbanan level, everybody agrees that Chaya B'Cholav is awesome. Ibois Ema, the Gemara wants to offer another approach to explain the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Ika Beinayu Of. What's an Afkamil Gabi Of? Rabbi Akiva Savar, Chaya V'Of Einon Minatora, that was the Lashon Rabbi Akiva, and the mashmos of the language of Rabbi Akiva is Homer Rabbanan Asiri. So the Chachamim prohibit Chaya with Cholav or Oaf with Cholav, and that's all the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he doesn't use that kind of language. He holds that Oaf is Afilim Rabbanan Nami Loas. The Rabbanan did not make this Gzera to prohibit Oaf with Cholav. So Oaf with Cholav, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, is Mutar Lechatchila. No Easter. So listen to this. You're invited to Rabbi Yossi Aglili's house, and he serves you a chicken cheeseburger. that was fried or cooked cheese with chicken. And he says to you, have a bite, you know, make a bracha. And he, you know, he serves it to you on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So you're going to say, what do you mean? This is chicken with milk. So the three possibilities. One possibility is to say it's an Issa d'Oraisa. The other possibility is saying Rabbi Akiva, it's also the Rabbana. And the third possibility is that Rabbi Yosef Glili is matar and even l'chatchila. So don't be more frum than Rabbi Yosef Glili when he serves you this chicken cheeseburger. Rabbi Yosef Glili sova of afilim Rabbana namilo osa. Now, what is the nature, what's the source of the root of this machlokas? It could be that everybody agrees that basar of is not really subject to gzeira. In other words, we're not afraid that he will confuse basar of with basar behema. But Rabbi Akiva holds that basar chaya is not osa min haTorah. And now we're going to create a gzeira on anything that's similar to basar, meaning basar behema, and that would include chaya. Once they made a gzeira on basar chaya, they also extended that gzeira to include basar of. But Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that basar chaya is also in the Torah. So the Rabbanu never had to make a gzeira in the case of chaya, and therefore they would make a gzeira in basar of, because basar of in and of itself does not warrant a gzeira. Okay, let's see if we can get to the Mishnah. Tanya Nami Hachi learned in a brisa, Bimakomo Shel Rabbi Eliezer. In the area of Rabbi Eliezer, this is unbelievable. Rabbi Eliezer holds that Machshirei Mila Dochem Es HaShabbos. Anything that's even third degree that you need to do in order to prepare Mila. For example, you need the Ismol, you need the knife for the Mila. You don't have a knife. So what do? On Shabbos, it was a Shabbos bris, the Yom HaShmini, Hayukorsim Asin, they went out and they chopped down trees. Imagine how many violations of Shabbos are involved here. Lasos Pchomim, and then they would take the logs and they would burn them in a campfire and make coals out of it. On top of the coals, they would put some sort of a metal substance, Lasos Barzel, so they would end up with a Sakin Shel Mila. And that's all based on the principle that Machshire Mila Dochem Es HaShabbos and Bimkomo Shel Rabbi Yosef Glili are your Ochlin Basar Of Becholo. Levi Ikla Lebe Yosef Rishba, that was his name. He came to the house of Rabbi Yosef Rishba. And this Rishba means he was a Tzayot of Ophos. He was a bird captain. Capturer. He used to capture birds. He used to trap birds. He was a bird trapper. Aisu Lakami Resha, they brought in front of him the head of a Tavasa. Tavasa is a Tavas. Now, Tavas is some sort of a piece of chicken, I think. And it was cooked in milk. V'hulo ochalo, so mishum yisur bas v'cholov. So the Amora Levi here, who's the guest, he doesn't want to eat it. V'lo amar lehu, v'lo midi. But he didn't say any, he didn't express any complaints. Ki asa l'kame de Rebbe, when Levi came to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and he asked him, Amalei Shol Rebbe as Levi. Rebbe turns to Levi and asks him, Milo Tashmitinu, why don't you do a nidu here? These are people who are eating chicken cooked with milk. Amalei Asrei Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beserahu, because this locality was that had the domicile of Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beserah. And Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beserah is a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef Aglili. And I said to myself, Dorash Lehu, it's very possible that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra got up in front of his local people in the Shabbos lecture on Halacha, and he says, Ki Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Diomar Yotza Of Shein Lo Chelev Eim, that in the case of Of, there's no Isur Basu B'chol, and not even an Isur Derabbanan. And basically what he's saying is that in that location, you know, that he's the Mar Da'asra, he's the one that determines halacha. They had this minug, and it's all based on Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. So they accepted Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. We don't accept Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. So again, even though if you follow this drasha meticulously, he only meant that according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, since there's no yinika of the oaf from its mother for cholov, therefore it's not included in the doraisa. I don't know how we know that he was darshaning that it's mutter mirabana. But apparently, based on the drasha of Yossi HaGlili, ein koch biad chachovim lasa. In other words, if something is mutter in the Torah, then we can't prohibit it. Okay, now this leads us to the next Mishnah, which in Mirtz Hashem, Bli Neder, we'll cover tomorrow. Okay, then?